So this is October 17th, 2019, and this is our fourth call in the opening series. And we're going to begin, as we always do, in Shavasana. So find yourself a comfortable place to lie down. Let go of everything that's come before. Whatever your day has been, whoever you've been engaged with, whatever you've been thinking about, unimportant right now. It's all already in the past. Be here in this moment with this body, with this breath, lying down on your back. Place some support beneath your head. Let it touch the shoulders, but not go beneath them. Let the chin be lower than the forehead so that the mind can become quiet. Bend the knees, take the flesh of the buttocks with your hands, move it toward the heels to make space in the low back. Extend one leg out and then the other. Let the baby toes drop to the earth. The rest of the toes follow. Let there be enough space between the feet so that you feel spaciousness, so that the hips are at ease, the legs at ease. Spaciousness. Bend the elbows and dig the elbows into the ground so that you can lift and open the heart center. The heart we want to be open, make space. And then release the arms to the earth. The arms are in a low V, palms up position, about 30 degrees away from the body. Softly close the eyes. Be present. Scan the body for any tension. Notice with your mind's eye where you're holding tension. It's probably been happening for quite some time, but you might not have noticed it until this moment. Pay attention. That spot that's holding tension, send the breath there. Breathe there. And with the breath, let that tension release. Where's the next spot that you've been holding tension? Can you find it? Send the breath there. Breathe into that spot. Let the tension go. Let the legs be heavy. Feel the pull of gravity on the legs. Let them drop to the earth. No need to make anything happen. It's a passiveness in the limbs, the arms as well. Let the arms be released at ease. And quietness in the body. The legs and arms are heavy. There are karmendriya, organs of action in the yoga tradition. Here, we want them to be passive. Let them go. Legs, arms, heavy. Chest is light. Feel the breath. What's your breath like today? Just notice. What's it like now? And did you notice that subtle shift in the breath? Probably as you put your attention there. Can you observe without needing to change? Just see what is. How's the breath? Soften the face, soften the jaw. Let the forehead be smooth, throat relaxed, abdomen relaxed. Watch the breath. If you find your mind wandering, as mind will, it's the nature of mind. Gently, without judgment, release the thought as unimportant right now, so it doesn't matter. Just let it go. Let it fade away due to lack of attention because your focus is on the breath. Watch the breath. In Shavasana, the mind is in a receptive state. So in this quiet place, know that all is well, that you are perfect as you are, right here, right now, that this breath, this moment, is exactly how it's meant to be. All is well. And allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees, slowly roll to the right side, support your head. Softly open your eyes and keeping the gaze toward the floor, use your hands to press yourself up into a sitting position and then come and join our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever possible. It trains one-pointed attention. It allows for presence. It allows you to be seen. As we're building our companies, we want to be seen. Practice it here. Hi, Teresa. First one to be seen today. Goodness, I made myself a green smoothie that's undrinkable. I think if I drink it while you're here, it's going to like splash all over my face. It's got like thick spinach in it. So, it might be for later. I'll drink my tea. So what did you love in this practice of Shavasana today? What we focus on expands, noticing what we loved every single time. Because that's the world we'll live in. That's what we'll see here and elsewhere. What did you love this time? Who would like to go first? Tracy, thank you.
I was actually looking really forward to this time just because I just enjoy the letting go part of it. I've been listening to some of your past Zooms and on the letting go series. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I was having a little hard time letting go.
There's satya, truthfulness. No worries. Just notice that. Yeah. And in that, what did you love? I want to return. There's truthfulness. I love that. I want to return us and have that practice of what did you love? So what did you love the most? You were looking forward to the letting go. Maybe that didn't happen, but what did you love about it?
What I liked is when my chest expanded.
Hmm.
Like that.
Can y'all feel the difference in that? Like, Tracy, can you feel the difference in that? Like, what? Oh, let me land here. And what I loved.
Yeah.
And all those other pieces are true. And those we can, we learn more about this in Mexico, but we could put that in brackets. Like, well, I was so looking forward to this time. The letting go didn't happen the way that I always want, you know, that I might have wanted this time. But that's okay, because what I loved is how my chest expanded. And then you could expand that part if you want. What, I don't know how it felt to you, but I how it felt, because there's air, there's breath, whatever that was for you. And that, can you hear the, that creates a different life trajectory. It's like, oh, there's what I want. Oh, there's what I want. Oh, it's right there in front of me. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
I loved everything you said. And then let's pull that back to, let's come right back to, oh, here's what I loved. Thank you, Tracy. Beautiful. Let's hear from one more. What did you love here? Who would like to share next?
I can share. I just wrote down, I loved releasing the tension in the body with the gift of breath.
Yes. Love it. And I love that you said the gift of breath. It really is a gift, isn't it? And, you know, we get so busy in our daily lives and building our companies and building what we're doing and taking care of the people around us. No, wait, this breath really is a gift. We don't even know how many we're going to be given, right? What's going to be our, it could, the last one could be this one right here. We don't know. It might be decades from now or anywhere in between. Oh, this gift, this breath here now. It's so much easier to see the other gifts around us when we can see what's the gifts that are right here close in with. It's always there, easy to overlook until we can't breathe, for instance, right? I don't think I've ever told this one, but your comment reminds me of this, Wendy. So I'm just going to trust this this story. When I was about, goodness, I don't remember. I'd have to ask my parents. I don't know if they'd still remember, but I was about 9 years old, maybe 10 years old. And kids around me, as I was taking care of kids when Dana was little, knew that they were not allowed to slurp spaghetti. And yes, maybe I had a disempowering story about it, but I slurped spaghetti one day and just a kid. My mom, who was the nurse, was out. I was just there with my dad. And it went straight down my throat and I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. Finally, I stood up. And it happens in a second, like that gift of breath. I get it. I stood up. And my dad didn't know. He hadn't been taught a hind limb maneuver. He was a farm kid. He didn't know what to do. And he just actually took his whole hand and arm, and he reached down my throat, pulled the spaghetti out, and I lived. And it could have been, we wouldn't be here having this conversation without my dad in that moment. You said, releasing tension with the gift of breath. And we could have focused on other parts of what you said, but the gift of breath. Sometimes we don't notice it till it's taken away. The gift of breath, and it has such power. I got tension in my body, I can release that. How much more energy will I have for the work that I'm doing on this planet? When I actually use this, it's been given to me. It's there every moment where I'm not alive anymore. It's there at least every minute where I'm probably not alive, where I've suffered some brain damage or whatever, right? Thank you, Wendy, the gift of breath. Yes, beautiful. Let me see. Okay, anything bubbling up and anything bursting to be said about Shavasana as we come in today? Okay, thank you so much. I love this. Who has noticed that each time we do Shavasana, because we get a different angle in by what people notice, that there's another aspect of Shavasana and what it does for us that you're learning as there's this accumulation of the practice week by week. Have you noticed that each week we do, as we accumulate the weeks of this practice, that you understand more of why it matters, what the subtleties are of it, and how it connects with the rest of our companies and our worlds? If you're noticing that, I've never asked this question before in this almost 2 years, coming up 2 years that we've been doing this, raise your hand. If you're noticing that, I'm seeing lots of nods. Yeah, okay, fantastic. Really good, 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 good. Okay. So let me see, announcements. This would not even be on your calendar, but it should be in your inbox as of yesterday. And that's because it's not part of our core program, but if I were you, I would make some space and attend. And you need to register for this call. This is a call that you can invite friends to if you choose as well. I'm teaching a free masterclass. It's, you know, open to the public. So again, you can invite your friends to this one. It's called Three Secrets to Choosing Words That Make You More Influential. Three Secrets to Choosing Words That Make You More Influential. This is not the first time that I've taught this. And you have one or two previous versions, I believe, of this call somewhere over there in Practical Applications. But this is a whole new iteration. We're building so many new things in this company. I'm really excited. I can't even tell you all the changes that are happening because I'm going to be doing a lot of work updating this call that I will be giving. It is Wednesday, October 23rd. So next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So the same time that we usually meet, translate to your own time zone. And in order to get there, though, it will not be this Zoom link. You need to look in your inbox and it will say, if you want to come to the call, click here. Well, click here, because then that's what will kick in the responder that will give you the link to that call, right? Let me see, anything that I want to say about that? We'll probably be talking about that in the next opening call, and we'll be unpacking some bits of it. So if you're able to make it live, great. If you can't make it live, register anyway so that you'll get the replay. And I will tell you that I'm doing the call on the Wednesday. We don't announce this to the list. This goes out to my list. But we are going to repeat that in an encore call, and I'm doing it live again on Friday. That's not even in my notes, but I am doing it on Friday again, October 25th at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time. So those instructions as well will be in your inbox once you raise your hand, and you raise your hand by saying, yes, I want to be on this call. So check your inbox. You should be on my list. If for some reason that email wasn't there, and I think it's the title of the email that was sent out is called one, you know, how changing one word matters, something like that. And there'll be other emails to follow to remind you about it. So that's on Wednesday. We have our last call in the opening series next Thursday. Again, check with the calendar, always keep up to date. And sometimes you're going to be updating a couple of those. As my schedule changes, we make some updates. We do it as little as we can, as possible, but sometimes some things have to shift and change. But take a look at the calendar and we'll always let you know when there's some updates. Okay, that's it for announcements. Where I want to start today is we just did a huge deep dive, a 4-hour Quantum Leaps Create Your Future Story virtual retreat last week. And so just by show of hands, so those we can see, like how many were there and able to attend the whole retreat live? Hands up. Just want to see how many were there live. Okay. How many were able to catch it in the recording? Hopefully the recording has been sent out to you, already posted. Okay. And how many of you met afterwards with somebody, as many of you were deciding to do, to take this further? Just hands up. Okay. Just want to see how deeply you dove into this material. Fantastic. Gives me some idea of what's happening across the community. So just a quick reminder, we can't redo 4 hours of training in 2 minutes, but a reminder, or if you weren't there, it gives you at least a brief sketch of what we were doing. So it was Quantum Leaps, Create Your Future Story. And if you were there, you'll recall that we began with the song Maroon 5 by Maroon 5 called Sugar. Do you remember that? I've never shown that to anybody in this community before. I'm always finding new materials and new inroads. I was so excited about that. It's the perfect place to understand about what it's like to be excited where you're going and how it transforms other stories around you. And then we have the fun of watching it unfold as we have a clear destination. And many, much, much more that we talked about there. But Maroon 5, we began that as our jumping off point. We started talking about, you know, what's your 3-year vision? Where is it you want to go? And all the questions that you brought in the survey to the calls, like we can't answer any of those if we don't know where we're headed, because we won't even know if we ought to be working on the funnel or closing that next sale this week, or maybe polishing the talk, or I don't know, many, many things that are happening, or adding one more person to my downline, or I don't know, doing more client care. It's multiple things that we do. What should I even be doing? Here's a buffet of things. If I don't know where I'm headed, then we end up with like from Star Wars, Luke Skywalker going, okay, what should I do? Should I use the hoe, or should I use the and go, you know, dig out the potatoes in the yard, or should I go and plant more crops for my uncle? When instead he's supposed to be out there saving the galaxy. he's going to make all the wrong micro decisions because he doesn't know where he's going. Make sense? If you heard that, raise your hand. It was a very brief summary of some of the places we were at Quantum Leap's Create Your Future story. And so then we talked about, well, what is that three-year vision? How do we make it live and in color and three-dimensional? What does it feel like to be there? Mm. And we shared a couple of them. That'd be a great thing to share with each other. Spend some more time on that. You can spend an hour writing that up. I mean, every piece we do, there is nothing extra. This I've done this and different related exercises umpteen times over, and they're ones that we come back to over and over again and in our companies to understand where it is that we're going and then how to get there. So then we started talking about the company and the 3 year or the 3 year vision. First, what does it feel like? And then the money, like, what do I even want to be earning? And again, we can be heading in the wrong direction. Sometimes we think we want to build a $100,000 company in 3 years, but what we actually are longing for is a seven-figure company. Sometimes I think I'm going to build a $5 billion company, and it's not even what I want or the lifestyle I choose. Or it's just because somebody told me I should want that. So what do I think I want to make? It's you get to choose your story, right? And then what are the component parts of the company? How much is each of those going to bring in? And that starts to craft out. The money is just an energy form. So it starts to help me understand how much energy I'm putting into the component parts that are building that life, which is where I want to land in 3 years. That cannot replicate what we did in 4 hours. There's no way. But it's a brief summary and a reminder of some of the places we were at and about what it means to take a quantum leap and create your future story, and also to not be on the path that leads us to where we don't want to go, right? So like endless decisions about which farm implement to use. And we end up wasting so much time because we're not even on point with where we want to go. We're not in the driver's seat of our own story, our own life story, our own company story. So, and then, you know, when we look at those parts and how they do they fit together? Are they integrated? Do we have a vision that we even are aligned with? Do I love it? And and so Mary Kay had a good example. There was a good example from Mary Kay. I'm just looking down over here. It was kind of, there was a number of examples in the group, but one of them was, I remember saying about this after the call, Mary Kay said, I love where I'm headed. And then it was like, oh, right. And then later in the call, but I forgot a major piece. Do you remember that? I love where I'm headed, but I actually forgot where I'm going. One part of it with love, Mary Kay. And thank you for, you know, hope you don't mind that I play like that, but we all do that, right? Not the only one. And heard from many of you about like, oh, I'm heading over in this direction, but wait, do I even want to be headed over there? What is it that's at the core? What's the most important of the pieces, right? So what I want to do now is just spend a couple of minutes, because that was a deep, deep dive training. It would be worth it to go back to it multiple times, because without that core piece, how do we create an empowering story? I don't know how to do it without knowing where we're headed. So I just want to hear from a couple of you, some... maybe you gathered with some members of the community and took it deeper. Maybe you had some ahas. It's like, I thought I was going over here. I forgot a major piece. Or I thought I wanted to do this. I actually didn't want to. Or the money match up. Some of you are going like, I easily could reach what I want to do financially. Or those things don't add up, etc. So let's hear some ahas. It can be an aha, a win, something you want to share from that Quantum Leap's Create Your Future story journey. A sentence or two. Maybe a half minute, a minute share, like what mattered to you in that? What do you remember from that? What did you love from that? What moved you forward? Who would like to share first? Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
Well, this is sort of an outcome of that and other stuff, but I had written the 4 minute speech and recorded it, just playing around with it. And when I was on a training call with one of my clients.
And actually, can I stop you there for a second, Mary Kay? I'm not sorry to interrupt actually, but because I want you all to hear that too. It's like, right, one key piece, am I doing keynote speaking or am I doing speaking and then to the back of the room and how many times? And hey, this is an important component and that surprised me, I didn't even know. So now I'm working on the talk and I can work on it with much more precision and intention, and because I know that it's an important component this is getting me to where I want to go. So I wanted to cross, like, make those connections in what Mary Kay is saying, because now she's on point. It had to do with what she put into her three-year vision, and perhaps she returned to it even. I don't know if she did or not. Kind of solidified it. It's like, yes, that's where I want to go. So then, of course, that's what she wants to be working on. And then those are appropriate questions to be asking in the community, or things to, you know, leaning in with the community and building it and going out and sharing it and doing it, because that helps her get where she wants to go. Mary Kay, go ahead.
Okay, so that was my my talk for this newer offer that I'm expanding to the loving presence of animals. And then I was doing a training call with one of my individual clients, and about halfway in the call, she started asking questions that I had answered in my 4-minute talk. And that was the first time I just kind of lifted. I mean, I didn't have it in front of me, but I started just saying what I had said in the talk.
I love this, Mary Kay. Thank you. And
it
thank
was
you.
Really cool, 'cause that
thank
was,
you for. This is so awesome, because can you hear how this is connecting some of the material from Quantum Leaps with the opening series that we're in? Because here we're in the next call in the opening series, but we're creating a story about where we are and how these component parts fit together and how that grows our companies, right? So all the parts are interconnected. I don't know how to do it with leaving any piece of it off, and they work together synergistically. Remember from the beginning of the opening series in Harry Potter and the Lucky Potion. Well, I'm supposed to go and see Slughorn, but I really feel like going to visit Hagrid. Oh, and you know, and did we even get to see that part of it? But you see him taking the Lucky Potion. I think the piece that I showed you was, you know, Ron, and he takes the Lucky Potion and he you know, he wins, but the Lucky Potion has nothing in it even. How do we end up feeling like we're having the Lucky Potion? Right? That this is constructed, that this happens for a reason. We're not always in charge of all the component parts, but we can be in a place where people start saying, you're always in the right place at the right time, or how come it works out for you, or other people works out, you know, how does that happen? And so Mary Kay just gave an example of that, because she's focused. She is, in this case, she is focused on her goal and focused headed toward the piece that she, the headed toward what she wanted, which was that talk. But she also was involved in, as you know, as we are when we have a company, and helping the people we're meant to serve. She might not even have known, Mary Kay didn't know that she had that question of how can I best serve even deeper and at a higher level, but it just ended up happening, like one action, many results. And because it's like she had the universe at her back, the wind at her back, and she let it be easy. So there's a little kind of piece, can you hear that? It's like the theme of the opening series, let it be easy, the wind at our back, there's something bigger than us that's happening. And so we don't have to worry so much or work so hard or force to make it happen. That combined with, hey, I know where I want to go, so I'm working on this stuff that's actually going to get me there. If you could hear bits of Quantum Leaps coming together with the opening series, raise your hand. Did you get that? No, yeah, really awesome. Thank you, Mary Kay. I love that. Thank you. And that piece about, you know, having an idea of what matters to me in those 3 years. Another example, I loved Wendy's. It's like, I want to be taking, 20 people? I can't remember if it was 20,000, 25 people. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I didn't review them, right? But it was like 20 people, 25, right? I remember the 20 and the 25, I think it was. And it's like, and the people that Wendy wants to take on a spiritual journey, right? Not those are my words, those weren't her words, but she wants to take on a journey. It's Jerusalem, was that Jerusalem? Yes. And so if that's the case, and it mattered so much to her, and that's the piece that she could see, might not be able to see some of the components of it. Remember that was that piece. It's like, am I aligned with that vision? We talked about that with Wendy. So don't know about all the component parts, but I know this part. Oh, then one big part, if I were Wendy anyway, I was like, what about getting that first person then? And then the high ticket virtual retreat becomes a really important place for Wendy to dive into, because her having that first person is huge. And then it's moving her to where she wants to go. So again, some more pieces of Quantum Leaps. So just another example. Thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you. Well, I didn't ask you if I could use your example, Wendy, but hope you don't mind. Let's hear one more aha, one more opening from the Quantum Leap series, just so we do a mini consolidation of where we were. And again, I encourage you to go back, even if you were there live, go back and listen again. As we do more pieces, go back 2 months from now too, even, and listen again. You'll hear more pieces as we have more pieces of the journey in front of us, right? Or that we have behind us. So one more aha, one more win, one more opening to share. Maybe you met with other people to take it further. Share that journey with us. What do you want to share? And it's the same question we're asking again here. Like, what do you love? And it could be just even from this summary that I did, you know, maybe, oh, I forgot that piece that we did, but right. It was like seeing the lead singer of Maroon 5 and, oh, right, Lindsay's future husband, we learned last time, right? Or second husband, I think it was, or whatever. And her husband knows, I'm like that. It's like, so might have just been from watching that and the energy of it. I don't know. But it's a training to always be noticing what's opening, always having the ahas. Yeah, thanks, Sherry, go ahead.
While I'm not certain it, kind of the opening that I've had this week rests completely on the work we did last week, it was certainly foundational. What opened for me was that I made a new level of commitment to my business. In a way that I've kind of danced around for a while.
And you know, here's the thing. You said, I don't know if it's connected with what we did with Quantum Leaps or not. And that's fine. It doesn't need to be. There's sometimes going to be a synergistic combination of things where we can't always, and it doesn't even matter so much. Is it that point or that point or that point? But like our companies build and our lives build, and it's a whole bunch of things going into that. Because for instance, like when we're doing Shavasana, you may not consciously know all of the benefits that are happening, but there's a ripple effect that moves into the life and into our companies, into our world. But what Sherry said, what you said about a different level of commitment to my business, this does not seem disconnected from Quantum Leaps. Because when I know where I'm going and I fall in love with that, of course I'm going to be much more committed to my business because it matters to me, because it's my direction. Because we'll do more, some more work on this in having a big Y series, right? The Y series. But it's my business. It's not somebody else's. It's not Luke on the farm. So this does not seem disconnected. Make sense?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I had been in conversation yesterday with Marie. And in out of the conversation came a letting go of something that has kept me stuck. So it's just been continuing this week to build. And it was really special to be able to be sharing it with someone else from the community.
Love it, Sherry. It's fantastic. And I love that you say, you know, letting go of something that had me stuck. And certainly in Letting Go series, we do a whole bunch of that work. And Tracy referred back to the Letting Go series as well. And this actually is a great connection to some of the material that we're going to talk about today later in the call. Because what do we do with that stuff that gets in our way? What do we do when we get into those places where we get stuck? And how can we actually even use them as a catalyst for the next level of our business? That's where we're headed toward the end of today's call. I guess some other places to lay the groundwork first, but I'm so glad you mentioned that stuck place. And then on the other side of that is huge energy for my company and for my, for, you know, commitment to my business and what it is I'm doing on this planet, right? So, and again, without Quantum Leaps, I don't know how to, without the material that we just dove into in Quantum Leaps and the ongoing unfolding of that work, I don't know how to make that happen. If our business is to create shoelaces and we have no connection with shoelaces and we hate it and it doesn't matter to us, how can we commit to it, right? So, and maybe for some people they're in love with shoelaces, perfect, and that's what they should be doing, you know? So thank you, Sherry, beautiful, love it. Okay, anything burning to be said, bursting to be said, without which we cannot go forward? A bit of a consolidation in order to move forward. Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Just. Hi, everybody.
Oh, was that just a hello? I have something's bursting. You said, thank you. Okay. Hi. Good to see you. Good to see you all here. Whether you're here, just a quick note too, whether you're here live and we can see you, whether you're here live and we can't see you, as some of you are here, whether you're listening to the recording, always so glad to see you here. All right. So training. I want to do a couple of extra trainings today because they've come across my plate they've come in front of me. And I'm like, oh man, you guys need this stuff. So sometimes that's going to happen. And one of them comes in the form of a question that Lindsay posted. And so Lindsay said, is there a certain scope of questions we should be asking? Is it okay if they're specific to us and our business, or should we be asking for the broader group? So I love this question. Thank you, Lindsay. And one of the things I love about this question is that you ask a question. I love that. First off, ask a question, right? That's the first thing. And so about the certain type of question, you know, is there a certain type of question I ought to be asking? I want to say all questions welcome. Every question is wonderful. I am an incessant question asker, and it's a huge part of what has propelled my business and my life. I think there's some part of me that never really grew up. You know, the little kid was like, what about this? What about this? And is this all right? I'm still that person. And I encourage that when I used to teach university and my students, like, ask questions, right? And so all questions welcome. Trust yourself and the question that's coming up in you. And if you don't have a question coming up in you, then you can find ways to find that question. And that's a really great thing to do. So now the piece about, and I'll say a little bit about, so first ask a question, any question, right? And then second, I'll talk a little bit about some questions that are, some ways to craft that question that's helpful, right? I want to spend just a couple minutes on that because it's a great, great question. And the more you ask questions, the more I can help you. So is it okay to be specific to us and our business, or should we be asking for the broader group? That's such an interesting question. Love that part, because sometimes we think, well, there can be a hint of an editor in there, because I can't ask my question because... and Lindsay, you're driving. I don't want to ask you too many questions. Like, please be safe. Right? So I'm not going to ask Lindsay questions. Let's just pull over about this, right? But there might be an editor sometimes when we ask something like that. Like, what if my question is too small? What if my question is too big? What if it's not right? What if it's somebody, it won't matter to somebody else? What if? And then it might go wrong. It might go downhill from there if it's not the right question. First, letting go of that unconscious tragedy, right? Living life unconsciously is a tragedy. It's all going to be perfect, and the question is perfect, and trust that. And then, here's the thing. Sometimes if we try to create a question that's going to be good for everybody, it might not be good for anybody. When I'm trying to think about what's going to be good for the whole, then for instance, Lindsay is guessing what Steve might want to ask, or Steve is guessing what Teresa might want to ask, and then trying to construct it for her. And it's like, wow, trust that Teresa will ask her own question, or trust that Steve will ask his own question, and so on, right? So there's a certain level of trust engendered when we ask our own questions. So really want to emphasize that first. And then second, it's my job to let people know why that question matters to them, not your job. Don't worry about that. That's on me. And then thirdly, it's also partly on me, and it's partly on that person. So Lindsay asked this question, and Wendy, can I use you, for example, for the moment, and just a playful, this is not Wendy at all. This is not what I perceive in Wendy, but can we just play for a moment? So Lindsay asked that question, and Wendy, if she chose, could be a very different person than she's being in this moment. And she could go, oh, Lindsay's asking a question that has nothing to do with my company and what I'm building. Oh, can we hurry up and get to the next piece? Because this is so boring, so uninteresting, has nothing to do with me. Well, was that Lindsay's problem or Wendy's problem, right? I mean, I'm kind of stretching. So Wendy, okay with that? Played a little bit like that? It's not what I'm perceiving at all in Wendy, right? So Lindsay doesn't need to extra, you know, control or make sure or take care of Wendy in that. There's a level of trust that, well, it's my job to show. And then also it's up to Wendy. It's up to Wendy and Marla and Sherry, all of us here, myself included, right? Not to ask, does this apply to me? Not a powerful question, right? We can start with that question, but then tweak it. How does this apply to me? So Wendy might be going, well, I'm not ever thinking about whether it's going to be specific to me or others. I haven't asked that question. Oh, but sometimes maybe I'm holding back about the questions because I am wondering, I realize now that she asked that, what's going to be the effect on others, or am I going to get the right question, or whatever. Maybe it's just a little tweak that has it apply to Wendy. And so it's Wendy's job to find that, because what Lindsay is asking, the questions are rooted. You guys are amazing. There's a reason for these questions. And when we have the ears to hear, there's an aha there. There's an opening. There's a way to take it further. And so ask the question for you. And let me give you another example of that too. We're going to end up with stronger questions when you have the courage to ask for you. Let me say it like that. It's like, oh, people will see the things that I'm asking. And oh, you know, there's a certain vulnerability in any time we speak. And we're speaking the truth. But when it's specific to us, this is for a very different purpose. I used to give this example at the university when I was teaching them about specificity in language. We'll learn more about that in different parts of the year. It's not for here. But when I can, for instance, if some of you, if I've ever done a visualization with you, whether you're at Story Freedom or in a strategy session, and sometimes people go like, how did you get into my head? How did you know that? That's like exactly it. If you saw, for instance, I don't know, like happened a couple times at Story Freedom or different times here sometimes, right? The very specific words land. So specific words matter. Let me just give that example, very quick dive into that or quick touch on that. So the example that I used to give at the university is people were understanding about specificity of language. Let's say I'm going to talk about pollution, okay? I'm going to talk about the environment. It doesn't matter what the subject is, and taking it away from business might be helpful. So I'm going to talk about the environment. Now, I used to give you the topic, what can you say about the environment? Well, we want to protect the environment. The environment matters. It's important to all of us. Let's protect the environment. Have I said something that's interesting to you yet? Like ho-hum. Oh, actually, yes. Some of you are going, yes, that matters to me. But have you learned anything new from that? Or is it the same old stuff? It's very broad and general, because maybe I'm thinking, well, maybe the environment will apply to everybody. So I got to ask something general enough that will apply to everybody. So we don't really have much to say about that. It's so broad and general. But now let me ask you, and it could be one of umpteen specific questions. It could be like, do you think that people should have to pay for the amount of the garbage they produce? Right? And now we might go, well, yes, because it's going to make people much more conscious. And then they're, you know, not going to be throwing out things that they don't have to throw out. Maybe they'll start using recycling systems. No, we shouldn't have to pay for it, because we already pay enough in taxes. And you know, besides, different people have, you know, big family, it penalizes big families because they're producing, you know, more garbage away, right? So now we can start to talk about something that has teeth, that actually is a component of the environment. And we actually have things to say. Do you think that you would have more to say when we talk about that? It's the same about your question. It's so specific to you that, strangely enough, it actually makes it more universal, because we're diving into something real. If you understood that, raise your hand. And that wasn't anywhere in my notes, but I want to take it a little bit deeper so you got that. Yeah, okay, good. So ask your question. Have the courage, or the, you know, playfulness, or whatever it is for you, to ask your question, and trust that it will land in others, all right? And that also, that's my job to connect, and then it's their job as well. And then I want to I want to do just a little bit more training about questions, because Lindsay asked a question about questions. So what you want to do is ask empowering questions. Now, don't worry about that. Start with any question. Here's one question that I could ask, and you could be asking me this, right? So you might put it over there in Story Freedom Academy. You might go, Michelle, why is everything going wrong in my company? That's a fine question. You could go ahead and ask me that question. All questions welcome, okay? Ask empowering questions, and how will you know it's an empowering question? Start anywhere, and if it's not an empowering question, we'll massage the question until it turns into an empowering question. So don't worry. If the question needs massaging so that we get an answer that will serve you, don't worry about it. We'll do that. That's part of the training. Michelle, why is everything going wrong in my company? Do you want the answer to that question? If you don't want the answer to that question, massage the question. Don't worry about you massaging. I will help you massage it. Why is everything going wrong in my company? Well, I'm not big enough. I don't have the right team. Everything is going wrong. And how are you feeling right now? Is this helping? I don't really want that, because I'm going to find out all the things that are wrong with me, probably. Instead, I might tweak that question and say, I'd really like to be growing faster in my company. It's not growing as fast as I like. What might help me grow my company faster? Or sometimes I feel discouraged about my company. How do I make change? Can you see that I might want the answers to those questions? and that might lead me somewhere productive. So don't worry, you can ask whatever disempowering question. You may not know if it's empowering or disempowering. It doesn't matter, because I will not answer a disempowering question for you. I'll help you massage the question, right? And it'll be one that still needs to have integrity for you, the one that you want to have answered. And we won't say like, hey, Michelle, how come my company's blowing up and I hate everything? I won't go, instead, please ask the question, why is my company so bright and cheery? It's going to be real, right? It has to be real to you. Just like if some of you were there at Story Freedom, you know, not like that was a broken woman before, changing one small piece of it. That woman who is, you know, looking at my past self, that woman who was still learning stuff, and that one small shift changes a lifetime, changes our journey. Okay, another part about questions is, what's my best next step? What's important for me to be focused on right now? You can just be asking a version of always, like, what's my best next step? Because I want to know, what am I going to do next to grow my company and my world? And to do that, we need quantum leaps behind us. If you understand that, raise your hand. You got it. Thank you. Yes. What's my best next step? So I'm probably going to be asking, I don't know, where are you trying to go? And this is a question that I ask people at strategy sessions too. Like, we don't know where you want to go. I have no idea whether I can help you or not. Where do you want to go? So, how specific should your question be? You could be asking at any level, 8,000 foot view. I'm not sure what I should be asking, Michelle. Will you help me figure out what I should be asking? I'm not sure what my 3-year vision is. Will you help me carve that out? I know that one component of my 3-year vision is taking people, these are different levels of, you know, specificity, taking people on a journey to Jerusalem. I know that I want to put that first person, I have the foggiest idea where to start with that. Michelle, where should I start? Great question for Wendy, right? Maybe she does have a good idea where to start, but she doesn't know where to find that first person. Maybe she knows who the person is, but is frightened to talk to that person. Maybe she's already talked to that person and that person threw tomatoes at her. Probably not, but you know what I'm saying? So all different levels of question that head in the direction of where she wants to go. One more piece I'm going to add here. Is this helpful to you about questions? This came from Lindsay's question about questions. Raise your hand if this is helpful. Just checking and seeing if you're hearing something here. Okay, good, 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 good. All right. One more piece. We're not going to do a deep dive training here. I'm hoping we'll put it in somewhere in the year. It doesn't have a specific place right now, but I'm going to do a seed version of it at least. We talked about where we're going to be in 3 years. One thing that I brought into my company in the last 2 years and into my life in about the last 2 years, what do I want to do this quarter? I didn't used to think in quarters because I come from academia. I think in semesters, right? But what do I want to do in these next 3 months? What's the one thing I want to accomplish? And to narrow that down to one thing takes a lot. It's asking the same question that we asked about 3 years. What really matters to you? And for Wendy to name, and Wendy, I hope you don't mind, but it's such an illustrative example. If she doesn't know all of where that, if it's going to be, if it's $5 million is coming from, but she knows it's one piece. And she knows that one's going to be there no matter what, like Mary Kay with the speaking or whatever it is, right? Or a high ticket or, you know, she knows that piece of it. Well, then a great next step would be finding that next person. And Wendy could choose this or another thing as her quarterly goal, but she might go, I want to find that one person this quarter. That's my one thing for my company. That'd be a great quarterly goal. It's aligned with that 3-year vision. And then she knows she wants to achieve that. And then she takes a chunk of that for her next step. Right? And it might not be that. It might be, I want to find that person, or it might be, I already have 10 people in front of me. Who should I talk to first? Or it's like, what should I charge them right now? It could be all kinds of micro questions. It might be that I want to have the courage to make an offer to 10 people this in these 3 months, like whatever that goal is, but choosing one thing and then asking questions related to what will get you there. Right?
If I could share something, Michelle, that goes along with that.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's a really interesting book called The Three Hag Way. I don't know if people have heard of BHAGs, right? No, Three Hag is a 3-year highly achievable goal. It might have to do like with your vision. But the way this works is you basically write down a single piece of paper. It's a large piece of paper, like a, you know, an A4. The 3-year. And then you translate that back, and okay, what does that mean like in 2 years? What does that mean like for 1 year? And then there's a, you know, obvious thing. Okay, now I got to do this quarter.
I love it. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for the resource. And Steve is also pointing us back. Remember, everything that we're doing is all interconnected. This is from our call last time, two calls ago, from the Inspired Action Blueprint. This is chunk it down. This is one line from the 12 steps in the Inspired Action Blueprint, and then a resource to help that happen. Chunk it down. Steve, I'm just meeting your line there. So here's my goal. Now, what are the pieces that I need to do to get there? So thank you, Steve. Love that. One more thing that I want to add about questions. It was such a great question about questions. The editor inside us might be going, well, what if I don't ask the right question? Because then horrible things will happen, whatever it is, right? As living life unconsciously in the genre of tragedy. I want you to consider this instead. What's the risk of not asking? Sometimes we think of the risk of asking the wrong question. What's the risk of not asking? I so want you to have your questions answered. Well, I don't know how to answer them. I do my best from, you know, previous experience of 10 years in the community and all the other questions that other people have asked. And then as you're asking questions along the route and so on, and we survey you and all kinds of things, right? But let's say that you went through your whole year and didn't ask one question ever. What might have been lost? Food for thought. Because sometimes we weigh the risk. It's like, I can't risk asking a question because I might ask the wrong one. It's impossible to ask the wrong one. I'll help you with it. What's the risk of not asking? So just a little plug for please go post your questions. Please post them. Please keep posting your questions. It helps me to help you. All right. One thing that you took from, and Lindsay, did that help? Did that land something in there? Okay, good. Thank you. So one thing that one aha from one of you, what's opening for you now? What did you learn here? What's applicable? Something that's an aha or an ooh-ah for your company. Let's hear from one of you. Yeah, Barb.
Just chunking it down to one question for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And not being overwhelmed with all the other pieces.
Mm-hmm. I didn't actually do this in my company until a couple of years ago, I would say. I mean, I had tons of people teach me practices to do that, but I didn't really do it. If you understand what I'm saying, raise your hand. Like if somebody told me to do it, I had it on paper, it wasn't really real. It became real in my company a couple of years ago. And it's a real process to decide, well, what is the most important thing? And then I know what to do. It doesn't mean I'm not gonna be doing some other things. I have a goal in my company, I'm still gonna be taking care of my daughter. We're gonna be playing other roles, but it helps train focus. Just like Shavasana trains focus, this trains focus in our company. And one thing that entrepreneurs need to be is focused, right? Okay, awesome. Anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? It's a great question about questions, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Barb.
I suppose it's possible to get bogged down in, well, what is the right one question for the next 3 months?
Uh-huh, right. And that's why I want to refer you back to quantum leaps. Because if you don't know where you're heading 3 years, how will you know what you should be doing this quarter? So I'll send you back to quantum leaps. And then Wendy might go, oh my goodness, what if I choose the wrong one? I might choose to find the one person, or I might choose to talk to 10 people, or it might be another aspect of where she said it, or Mary Kay might choose speaking, or she might choose something about high ticket. Oh my goodness, what if I choose the wrong one? Well, she knows that those are both aspects to where she's headed. And is the same thing, what's the risk if she doesn't choose? Usually it descends to chaos. So choosing and trusting and putting your stake in the ground. Y'all, to put your stake in the ground to come here, that's a great example of putting your stake in the ground. I'm doing this. So you know you have that capacity in you. I'm doing this. I'm not doing something else. This is the thing that I'm doing. So same thing here. So thanks for that, Barb. That's great. Really great. What's the risk of not putting the stake in the ground in around that? Okay.
And there's nothing that says that just because you put the stake in the ground that next week you can't discover, oh, that was the wrong stake and move it.
Thank you for that. That's a beautiful additional piece. That's that Alex Mendozian versus Maxwell Maltz from a couple of weeks ago. Maxwell Maltz says that, you know, we can't course correct it. If we're in a car and it's stopped, we can't make it go. We can't turn the wheel. once we're going, then we can course correct. We can actually turn the wheel. A stuck car, we can't even move it. So if we start heading in one direction, then we go, and there's things happening in this company as of just a couple days ago, where we were going in one direction with one part of the company. And because we went in that direction, now we're going in a different direction. And because we went a little ways down that, I was like, oh, no, not there, course correct. Thank you for that. Love that. Yes, beautiful. Sherry, go ahead.
And pursuing one thing can open a dozen questions that need to be asked and answered on the journey towards that one thing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have one question and that's it as you're going after one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to be a whole bunch of components that go into that. Let me give you, because we're doing a deep, is this helpful to you? Can we, there's a training that we're going to be doing coming up. We're going to carry it on next time too, but this is following up with your question, and it's related to where we were with quantum leaps and forms the groundwork for our next pieces. So, so let me give you a really real example from this company. So what we're doing right now, I love strategy sessions. I love strategy sessions. I love them. And there's only one of me. And so like I've learned from Sandra Yancey, you know, what got you to this stage, not what will get you to the next level. It's so important. And so that's served this company for a long time. And I really want to keep doing that. But for the company to grow, it's important for somebody else to be doing those strategy sessions for me. That's a really cutting edge part of our company right now. And so my goal for this quarter, to give you one example of one such goal, my goal for the last quarter was to land Story Freedom. That was it. No, I just wanted to be an outstanding event with amazing people that just like served tremendously. So a lot of things went into building that. And my goal for this quarter, we have someone who's going to be doing strategy sessions for us starting next week. And it's super exciting. And it's such a huge goal in the company right now. My goal around that for this company is for that person to hold one strategy session or somebody takes a leap into something. That's it. I mean, 3 months, and that's the only thing that I want to achieve in the company this month. But like Sherry was saying, all the things that have to go into that, all the systems and processes that are changing. I was on a call for 2 hours this morning in and around that. Another call 2 hours tomorrow to produce that. And then what's the spinoff for you guys? I'm so excited about the High Ticket Virtual Retreat 3.0 or whatever it is, this next level, because all of what I know a lot around sales, and we've had outstanding results of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat up until now. But what's going to be in this High Ticket Virtual Retreat, man, make sure that's on your calendar, January 16th, I think it is. Because what's going to feed into that from here is going to be outstanding. And very super cool. So one thing, and then a whole bunch of things in around in the company that feed into that. All right. Anything else bursting? Only was bursting to be said. I love you guys. You engage at such a high level. And don't worry, we always get there. We always get to all the pieces that I want you to have. But you know, when it's really as juicy as this is company changing. If you've got ears to hear, and I know you all have ears to hear. So I want to jump in with your questions. All right. So I just want to do a brief reminder of where we were in the opening series. We've been doing so much in the last few weeks with Quantum Leaps in the middle as well. So the first call in the opening series, remember that lucky potion? We know there's moments where we're guided, where there's something higher, where we're not alone. Like, how do we tap into that? So we're not having to work so hard. And those bits from Harry Potter that I shared with you, right? And Steve telling us, oh, right, Ron didn't even, there was nothing in the lucky potion, but still results changed. And examples from you guys, I remember Steve gave us examples, Sergio gave us as an example of things that happen at a higher level. And it would be remiss if I didn't teach that piece, because without that, we work way too hard and can't get there from there, right? The second call, we start talking about inspired action. And again, the calls are not always going to be perfectly placed. The title might not exactly match what's underneath. It depends on the pace, but we're going to get to all the component parts, all right? So inspired action. We talked about that in the second call. That was Alex Mendosian versus Maxwell Maltz as part of it. Maxwell Maltz is like, you got to start, just start any direction, then you can course correct. Alex Mendosian says, the worst thing you can do is run in the wrong direction enthusiastically. How do we, what do we do with those two things? And we, part of what we came up with is the Inspired Action Blueprint. One of the most important things out of that Inspired Action Blueprint, again, I can't reproduce all that we did there. We had another chunk of it today, but it's like, gather the energy first. Gather the energy first. There are multiple examples of how we gather the energy, but if we don't do that, we end up like Luke's. One of the ways to gather the energy is to have a three-year vision. Remember what Sherry said, now I've got, you know, I've got commitment behind, I've got energy. And one piece of that was quantum leaps, create your future story. Luke Skywalker wasn't gathering the energy at all, and he was going to, you know, change implements at the farm or whatever, right? No inspired action there. Gather the energy first. And with the Inspired Action Blueprint, we talked about, you're probably doing a bunch of those pieces already. It's not rocket science, but what piece is missing? If we don't celebrate what's been happening, for instance, I don't know how to get there from there. We're going to peter out. Can we actually notice what's beautiful? That's why we're always going back to, what's the win? What's the aha here? What's beautiful here? All right. That's part of where we were. We started, we've done more than that, but I want to talk about today, transmutation. And this is a part two, I guess, continuing discussion of transmuting inner dirt to inner gold. Discover the core values of your business, but transmutation, that process, we did a bit of it, story freedom, and it does so much more than that. So where we ended the call, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, is we were talking about Editor 201, Editor 101, and Editor 1.0 and 2.0, or Editor Next Version. I can't remember what I called it. Maybe it was Editor 1.0, Editor 2.0, and what to do with the editor. There's a first version of what we do with the editor, those old stories that don't help us, that voice in our heads. And then there's another version that we can do that we start getting into with transmutation. Do you remember what the difference is between the two, or do you remember what 1.0 version is? What's Editor 101 or 1.0? What do we do with the editor? We have a thought that goes like, you know, I can't grow my company because I don't know enough, or I, you know, I've always been doing it this way and it's never worked out for me, or whatever it is, or I can't ask a question because all those things that stop us, the inner stories that stop us, what's the first thing that we can do to change that? Multiple things, but do you remember what Editor 101? It was from 2 weeks ago. And if I have you think about it for a moment, you'll remember it better, so. First thing to do is toss the editor out the window. I can't do that because I don't know enough. Are you kidding me? Thanks for sharing, editor. You know, I know way more than enough. And we're good to go. When I've been training for this for years, I'm ready. I just like, thanks, editor. I noticed what you are. I let you go out the window. So if you understood that piece, raise your hand. Like, clear? That one should be really clear. Okay, good. There's another thing we can do though. And if we haven't done at least some work to do editor 1.0 or whatever we call that, we can't get to the 2.0 version because the editor is going to sneak in the back door to bite us. Okay. We have to have some facility with that, not listening to that voice. Some of you probably encountered some version of that voice to get here, for instance. Am I right? I can't possibly do this because, and whatever followed probably is a version of something that had been stopping you elsewhere as well. If you heard that and that resonates with you, raise your hand. That is the editor's voice. And so you probably had to do some version of editor 1.0 to change that. Wait, that's not true. I can do this because. Yes? Okay. So editor 2.0. So we have to have some facility with that. You all have that or you wouldn't be here. Something of that. Editor 2.0. We don't want to believe that editor's voice. And it's always, I can't, or it's always going to end bad, or whatever it is, that old story that we've been saying over and over again, or ever since is another version of it. One member of our community, one of our alumni, one of her versions was ever since the car accident. Ever since the car accident, now this and this and that bad thing, and it's just never going to work again the way it used to, right? So we can have all kinds. But we don't want to believe that. It's true that ever since the car accident, all these bad things are going to happen. We have to be able to toss that editor out the door. But we can also look to that voice and start to become curious about it, the way we're curious about the breath in Shavasana, the way we're actually paying attention to it. And remember I said in Shavasana, we want to be able to pay attention to the breath, but not have to change it. Maybe as soon as I say that, sometimes it might have happened to you, probably sometime in the year this will happen. You notice that your breathing is all right up here and it's really shallow and your stomach hurts while you breathe because you're just in a bad spot at the moment. Has it ever happened to you where you've noticed the breath and it's not where you'd like it to be? Raise your hand here or elsewhere. Yeah, got it. Okay. So at that moment, usually I just want to push it away. I want to change it. I want to let it go. Sirius talks a little bit about this too. But can I just notice it and not need to change it at the moment? And just see what is. Yeah, right now I'm breathing really shallowly. It must be telling me something about what's going on inside me. This is important information it's giving me. Can I just notice it? Instead of that quick fix and pretend it's not there and cover it over or just force my breath to be different while forcing. Can I just notice? Can I have that same attitude that I'm learning in Shavasana and have that about the editor? Well, what is the editor saying? Because the editor, we did a piece of this, it's Story Freedom again, is my own personal, I have my own personal editor. I have my own personal editor. It is highly individual. It's constructed by me. And it comes up in that particular form for a reason. So when I can be unafraid to look at what the editor is saying and actually go straight there, head toward the lion's roar, instead of shy away from it, don't believe the surface of it, but start journaling about it, be curious about it, start writing it down. Then I can start doing transmutation, which is transmuting inner dirt, less like the editor's voice, to inner gold. It will tell me. And so when I do transmutation, and we're going to continue this. It's at the core of the opening series, understanding how transmutation works. We're going to do some more of it next time as well. But it answers a higher level version of what can I do with the editor. It helps me, you know, how do I release negative energy and have it serve me instead? What direction should I even be moving in? And it can help with my vision. Remember, we just did the vision at Quantum Leaps. Here's where I want to be in 3 years. But how can I flesh out more of where I even want to go? We did it in a moment. That's one way to do it. Just trust that. Gather the energy and write it down and trust that. But there are component parts of where I am best headed. And even though on my screen, Mary Kay and Marla are beside each other, for example, and they both work with horses. But Mary Kay's journey is very different from Marla's journey. And where she wants to go and what she wants to do with her clients. And Mary Kay also is expanding out. It's not just with the horses. She wants to work differently. So on the surface of things, their three-year vision might look the same, but it's not. It has component parts that are distinctly Mary Kay and that are distinctly Marla. And when they understand that, when we understand that, it helps me figure out what my core values are. It helps me understand what I should even build that's uniquely mine. And it helps me know that once I'm building it, when I get there, I'm going to love it. And how am I going to love it? Because I love it all the way along the way, because I'm listening, not to the surface of my editor, but to what it's saying about who I am, what matters to me, and what direction will be juicy for me when I go in that direction. So that's editor 101 versus editor 201. 101 is like, editor, just go away, because you're not serving me right now. Editor 201, I actually go toward the editor. I look inside and see what's there to find out about myself. If that makes sense to you and you're hearing the difference, even if we haven't gone deeply into the how we do that, if that makes sense to you, raise your hand if you can hear that. Good. Okay, got it. So you're also with me. Okay. All right. There's like several different pieces that I want to do from here, and I'm just deciding which way I want to go next in order to best hear this. Yeah, I want to do, I cut this out of what I was going to teach you earlier. It actually fit in earlier, but I cut it out to make room for this. And I thought we'll get there later, but I actually want to do this piece right now after all, because I think it'll add another piece. It will help join up the puzzle pieces and you'll see more of how things fit together. Would that be all right? It's another component. We'll continue this discussion about transmutation next time as well. It's a piece, I said, as we're doing the opening series, there's going to be more pieces from yoga and even yoga philosophy I'm going to bring in. I think I mentioned that several weeks ago. Here's that piece. I don't even know if you remember that, but I did say that. So what am I going to do with the editor? Here's the question that I'm addressing right now. What am I going to do with that editor? Well, I can just tell the editor to go away. I can transmute the editor. And if I'm going to be able to transmute the editor, if I'm going to turn it, find out what the gold is there, I better have a quiet mind that has some kind of equanimity about it, some kind of balance about it. If I don't have that balanced mind, I might accidentally start believing the editor and fall into that. I might start going, instead of pushing the editor away, I might start going, the editor says that I've got a bad mothering button, for instance, right? So that's one version of my editor is like, man, Michelle, you're a bad mom because, you know, you're away from your daughter and sometimes you don't hear her and sometimes you argue. And it's because here's a bit of transmutation. I care so much about it that I have a button to push. You can push a button there for me, all right? And if I don't have some kind of quiet mind as my basis, if I start diving into, well, you're a bad mother because of this, this, and that, I'm going to start believing it. I'm going to fall into that. Can you hear that? Raise your hand if you heard that. Yeah, so I better have a basis of equanimity. And so I just wanted to point to why we do Shavasana even more deeply here. And the piece that the yoga tradition plays in an empowering story. Now, I could teach all day on this, and we will do a deep dive, you know, one day, I think it's in February when we do our first one, our next one, our deep day yoga dive. But I just want to teach you a piece from the Yoga Sutras. And you'll go, Michelle, why are we learning about yoga philosophy? I've got a business to grow. Anybody feeling like that? Are y'all good? Can you stay here with me for a bit? You know that Shavasana makes a difference. You can stay here with me. Okay, good. So the Yoga Sutras, how many of you have heard of the Yoga Sutras? Raise your hand. How many have no idea what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Be proud. Yay. Okay, great. Okay. Here's one copy of it. From my teacher, Light, it's called Light on the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. But if you just pick this book up and start reading it, it probably will be meaningless to you, all right? I'm the translator for it. There are umpteen different translations. I'm just showing you one so you can see, you know, what it looks like. And this is by my teacher, the teacher in my tradition, BKS Iyengar. The Yoga Sutras, like it says on the back, does it say this? The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, it's a collection of 196 aphorisms, each one concerning an aspect of the path to enlightenment through yoga. Acclaimed as one of the most profound and enlightening studies of human nature and the search for spiritual liberation, the sutras were compiled over 2,000 years ago. So it's 196 little sayings. And what interests me, and there's people of all different faiths and traditions who take a look at this because it's helpful, right? So it doesn't matter what your background is. But what's helpful about it is that the yogis deeply dove into the mind and understanding of the mind and how it messes us up and how we can get free. And as entrepreneurs, remember that this company is called Story Freedom. They teach us a lot about, if we're getting free in our own lives, we're going to get, our companies are going to be freed up as well. Does that make sense? Like, let's free up the life and the company is also going to get freed up. So it's these little short sayings, but every single one of them says something that, in my experience, if we go crossways of it, it doesn't land so well. It doesn't, things don't work so well. I don't claim that I understand all the sutras. I certainly don't. But the ones that I've gone deeply into, if I go crossways of it, I'm going to have trouble. If I don't, I'm going to feel things are going to go better. Let me give you one example. One sutra is about satya, truthfulness. It says, if I tell the truth, my life's going to go better. It's in other spiritual traditions too. It says, actually, I'm going to be able to move mountains. And I would say it's a key component in closing a strategy session, for instance, or speaking from stage, or they get smart stuff to say, but they tell us how to do that, why it matters, at what level we do that. We're not talking about that sutra today. That's just an example. There are two sutras that I want to draw your attention to. It'll just take me a couple minutes to teach this. It'll give us another foundation for transmutation, another piece in the opening series, another piece of having the wind at our back, letting it be easy, not having to struggle so hard. Okay. So in the sutras, this doesn't matter so much, but it's broken into different chapters. This piece matters. The first chapter kind of feels like, well, for people who are already got there, they're enlightened. They're like whoever your spiritual hero is. They already got there. Here's stuff for them. And we're like, oh, great. How about the rest of us? You know, how about the rest of us mortals? And chapter two is, here's some practical stuff that will help get you there. All right. So I want to teach you just two sutras, three, I guess. The first one just says, now begins the practice of yoga. It sounds, so what? I did a whole week-long yoga training just on that one sutra. So it means more than we think. I'm not even going to go into that. It's just like now. It's now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. Like our breath right now. Let me just say that. Now begins the practice of yoga. The second sutra, it said that if we understood this, we have all of yoga and we wouldn't need anything else. This is the whole of what yoga is. And some of you might know, if you've been around on campus for a little while, so you may not know. So it's 196 short little sayings. How many of them do you think are about yoga postures? like standing and standing poses and Shavasana. Take a guess, 196, how many are about yoga postures? These little sayings, what do you think? Somebody take a guess. Take a random guess, just for fun. Sherry, go ahead.
None.
Oh, very close, very close. Three. In the West, we think yoga is about moving our bodies. Three in the Yoga Sutras. The rest is about how we be on the planet and what our minds are like and a whole bunch of other stuff, right? The second chapter is about some actions. The first sutra says, so the first sutra right at the beginning says, now begins the practice of yoga. The second sutra is what, like, we will understand the whole of yoga if we just know this sutra. And it is, in the Sanskrit, is Chittavritti Nirodha. Chittavritti Nirodha. You don't have to memorize that. You don't have to know how to spell it, even though I probably don't know how to spell it. Right? What it means is yoga, it's the definition of yoga. Yoga is the stilling of the fluctuations of consciousness. In other words, yoga is stopping all that mind junk. That is the definition of yoga. If we truly understand that, the yogi said, we would actually be free. And we wouldn't need anything else. The whole of yoga is designed to do that. And you have a taste of that from Shavasana. Think of all the openings that you've heard from Shavasana. And Shavasana is sort of the most important pose. It stops all that mind junk. Then we can be aligned on stage. Then we can speak what we want to when we're networking. Then we can know what to say to our team because it's not, we're not filled with all that mind junk, right? So, and then I want to teach you, so it's Sutra 2.1 and 1.2, right? So yoga is stopping all that mind junk. So it's an important component of what we do here because I'm not going to get to transmutation if I have all that mind junk going and if I'm listening to the editor. Make sense? So I could try just pushing the editor away, but it's probably just going to come in a back door. I create a mind that has equanimity. I create a mind that's quiet. I create a mind that's not perturbed by all that stuff that's happening outside and in my own mind. And then I have the foundations to be able to do transmutation. I want to give you one more piece from the sutras because it's just, again, a helpful foundation for all of us as we go forward in our year together. And that's, it's on the other page here. Sutra 2.1. So remember I said that the second chapter is all about, what about for the rest of us mere mortals? If we don't understand how to stop all that mind junk and we're not yet enlightened or, you know, on the path to nirvana or whatever it is in your tradition, we're not in heaven yet. I don't know, like, what do the rest of us do, please? How do we help our minds? How do we end? So the second sutra in the first sutra and the second chapter is all about for the rest of us mere mortals. So it's an important one. And it says, and you don't need to know the Sanskrit, tapas vadyaya ishvara pranidana ni kriya yoga. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, I probably butchered it. But what it means is, tapas is burning zeal. Svadhyaya is self-study. Ishvara pranidana means surrender to the highest in us. Right? There's, sometimes it says surrender to the divine, it's translated different ways, but something about the highest. Kriya Yogaha, these are the actions of yoga. So all put together, it's burning zeal, self-study, and surrender to the highest are the actions of yoga. So in that second call in the opening series, we were talking about action. How do I create inspired action? And the yogis are all about creating inspired action as well. Because they talk about Kriya Yoga, the yoga of action. How do we actually act in our world in aligned ways, in ways that are ethical, in ways that create justice, equanimity, alignment, you know, all the things, truthfulness, ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming, the things that we want to create on this planet and in our companies as well. If we don't have truthfulness in our company, I don't know how to get there, right? So they say these are the three components. And we can look to the yogis to help us understand Alex Mendozian and Maxwell Maltz. Alex Mendozian said, man, nothing worse than, the only thing worse than going in the wrong direction is going in the wrong direction enthusiastically. Do you remember that? How do we stop from doing that? Well, the yogis have one of the answers for us. They say burning zeal. He says, well, don't have burning zeal because you're going to run in the wrong direction. But the yogis say, well, that's got to be balanced with some other things. Burning zeal, yes, you got to have that. And Sherry talked about, I just got commitment for my company. If we don't have that, we can't get anywhere. Quantum leaps, knowing where we're going to go in 3 years will help us have that burning zeal, right? But we need another component, self-study. We need to look inside. And transmutation is a process of looking inside. What's even inside me? Who am I? What matters to me? And I can look to the editor to help do that self-study. And they said there's a bunch of pieces in the yoga tradition, self-study, studying, spiritual books and so on. Some of the spiritual roots of the yoga tradition, they're not my tradition. It's not where I came from, but I find them immensely helpful for understanding how to become free, how to work with our mind to become free. All right. So again, doesn't matter what your spiritual background is, what your tradition is, we can learn from what they've said about bring these pieces together. So burning zeal, and we need self-study. We need to be able to look in. And then surrender to the highest. That's what the opening series is about. It's like there's something bigger than us that's acting. And if I don't know that piece, I'm going to miss something. There's something bigger going on. And these are the actions of yoga. When I have these three things put together, then I'm going to create aligned action. So I just wanted to give, this is another component part about how do I create action that comes from the deepest place inside me. And some of this can sound theoretical. It's like, so what, Michelle? Like, will you just tell me how to close a strategy session? Will you just tell me what to speak from stage? Will you? So if anybody has that kind of impatience inside them, or it's like, this is really esoteric. This is just for a couple of people and it really makes no difference. We've been working on all these pieces. Burning zeal, well, quantum leap, so we can create that. I really want to go there. Self-study, we do that in Shavasana because we are seeing what mind junk comes up, by the way. In Shavasana, oh, I'm starting to think about every time. I'm starting to think about lunch. I'm starting to notice what my patterns are. So self-study in that. Surrender to the highest, the opening series is that. Remember the lucky potion. Like, how do we find something bigger than that, right? And then we're going to create actions that are aligned. We're going to create actions that have like one action, many results. So if people start looking at us and go like, how do you move so quickly? How is it that you have people always helping you? How is it, right? So that's right at the heart of it. And then we lay a strong foundation to be able to do transmutation without falling into just listening to the editor. So again, this is a bit of a theoretical scaffolding for us. You might go, Michelle, I don't know how to implement this yet. That's okay if you're at that place. But what I want us to understand is we don't have to be frightened like Alex Mendosian about running in the wrong direction enthusiastically. We don't have to dampen our enthusiasm because we have multiple inroads to not go in the wrong direction. Steve said, hey, we can course correct. Yes, we could do that. Self-study will allow us to do that. Hey, I'm going in this direction, but it doesn't feel good. Now let me change directions for myself and my company. Self-study, surrender to the highest. I understand that there's something behind me, that the wind is at my back, that Mary Kay doesn't have to work out all the component parts and answers to her clients' questions because she was working over here and the universe is just going to hand her more too. So then I can be more relaxed and more at ease. And I can feel better about taking a step. I can feel better about asking a question. I can feel better about, I've got a solid foundation to start doing transmutation and start heading to where I don't want to go. To do transmutation, I got to look at the stuff that I don't want to look at. What the editor says, I'd rather just send it away. Thank you. But I can start to become curious. I can start to be interested in what's inside me. And then, when we really dive into transmutation, it's like, wow, you know, this awful stuff just happened. Wow, but I can't wait to start writing about it because I know it's going to tell me more about where I want to go from in 3 years, and which will tell me what I want my quarterly goal to be, which will tell me what I should be working on right now, which will tell me what question to ask Michelle. And it's not going to be very complicated. It's going to be easy because I'm just learning to listen inside me very differently. If that made sense to you, I've never taught that like that ever before. I just thought, you guys, you are the ones who are ready to hear this foundation. So I'm risking telling you something that could sound theoretical, but that I think has a much stronger foundation for building actions that are so much better, for having the wind at our back. If that made sense to you, if you could see those component parts I was putting together from, you know, this burning zeal and the self-study and how these pieces can have us acting in ways that are so much easier than what the vast majority of entrepreneurs are doing out there, raise your hand. Just want to see, and if it didn't land, it's okay. It's the first time I've taught it this way. Wow, freaking awesome. Thank you. Okay, so we'll take that further next time. I just want to remind you that Three Keys call. What did I call that call again? Let me give you the title again. Do I have it here? Yes, Three Secrets to Choosing Words That Make You More Influential. That's on Wednesday at 12:30 Mountain Time. Remember, you have to register for that. Check your email or you won't have the information. And then we'll have our last call in the opening series. We're going to finish that deep dive into transmutation. We're going to build on the foundation that we've created. And I will be answering your questions as well. Please go ahead and ask questions. And we'll weave it through the material. Sometimes we'll do a deep dive into that question. Sometimes it'll be woven through the material. And we're going to do transmutation, also add another piece of, that makes it all work as well, that makes it all work. So key class next time. What I want to do now is one aha, one inspired action. That aha, because I'm training myself that there's always ahas, things are always opening for me. It's a practiced way of being. One inspired action, so it doesn't end up as theoretical knowledge. There's one thing I'm going to do in the world that hopefully is connected to where I want to go, that that actually makes it real. It's not theoretical. I'm actually building my company. All right. Tracy, you're up in my left-hand corner. You're up first.
All right. My aha is...
Oh, Teresa. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was Teresa.
I'm Tracy, but I love that you're just leaping in with a gusto, Teresa. So it's you.
I was looking down. Listen inside me differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. How am I hearing it? And go dig around.
It's so crucial. And the last chapter, some of you might remember, I've mentioned this before, the last chapter of my PhD dissertation, I spent years of my life studying it, was just called listening differently. How can I listen to another human being differently if I can't listen inside me differently? And that is a standout quality. It grows everything for our companies and therefore our world. Thank you for hearing that. What's your inspired action?
To do that.
Uh-huh, yeah. And how do we make it a check-offable action so we know that it's actually being done?
An instance, I'm going to force myself to actually have a moment and say, this is what we're going to do right here.
Yeah, got it. Do you see how tangible that is then when she makes it a check-offable action? And then she can do it 10,000 times afterwards. You can do it 10,000 more times, right, if you choose. But now we know this is actually moving something in your world and your company. Thank you, Teresa. Beautiful. Yes. Tracy, you're up next.
My aha was when Steve asked the question, like, what do you want to happen in the last quarter? Mm-hmm. It made me think about that and what I want. And then my call to action. I'm going to have a call tomorrow with Lindsay and Angela again, and I want to go over that with them.
Fantastic. Yes, great. What do I want to do in the last quarter? And then it has to have quantum leaps behind it, right? Otherwise, how would I know? So really freaking awesome. And again, all this, it's all interconnected. It all builds. It's all component parts work together to create a whole different company, a whole different world. Thank you for another component piece of that, Tracy. Thank you. Yes. Wendy, you're up.
So I just really love the idea of the transmutation, taking those voices that can feel so negative and making them, or seeing them in a different way to hear that what they're really saying is how great you are and what you get to put into the world. So that was my aha.
Thank you for that possibility of what transmutation actually does. And again, we're going to finish off that discussion next time and do a deep dive so we really understand how this process works. Love it. And then your inspired action.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep a notebook around and take note of what the editor is saying.
Great thing to do this week. Great thing to do. And one of the things, just a reminder, a couple of weeks ago, I suggested it's another piece of transmutation. What really moves you? If you have a movie and you start crying, or what really frustrates you or angers you, you see somebody and something happens, you just, it pushes your buttons. Great thing to be doing again this week. The notebook, great idea. That all lays the groundwork for what we'll be doing, completing next week, a deep, deep dive. Thank you. Yes. Sherry, you're up.
So my aha was from looking inside. I had, out of last week, I said I was going to make 5 calls a day for 3 days a week. And I have always been, oh, they're scary. And then looking inside, as I've started to look at the individuals that conversation got transmuted into, each of these people have a story that I've started with them. I can just continue that story. So it's more a conversation as opposed to, oh, this is scary kind of thing.
I love that. So you found a new way to envision what it is you're even doing when you're having that conversation, which allows you to take that step because you did that Svadhyaya self-study that the yogis talk about, looking inside, well, why am I even scared about that? And again, that word transmutation, we're going to use in very specific ways next time, but what you've done is the internal look, which is crucial if we're going to build a company that has integrity, that is our company, not somebody else's, and that allows us then the unique words to describe it because it's our company, not somebody else's. So yes, I love it. That inner journey and the effects it has on that outer world of that conversation. Thanks for connecting the inner and the outer. So we see one of many applications. Yes. What's your inspired action then?
Make 5 calls a day, 3 days a week. Yes. With a new approach.
It results in some very specific actions. It actually gets us moving out in the world, the inner world, the outer world connected. And remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jack Canfield, 1 hour in the inner world is equivalent to 7 hours in the outer world. Are we working too hard? So, because if we can try a million things in the outer world to make those calls, it's not going to happen if that piece is happening. We just change that, all of a sudden it's easy. So a good illustration of that. Thank you, Sherry. Love it. Barb, you're up. Oh, and you're muted.
Okay. My aha is about the sutras and how they work together.
I'm so glad. That was my editor going, can we do this? Do we have time? Are they going to hear this? Is this, I have an editor too, right? So thank you. You heard and why it matters. And we were in the perfect place to hear it. And so thank you for hearing it. Yes. Love it.
And then my action is to go through the rest of the 4 hour from last week. I was able to be involved in some parts, but it was sort of in the middle. So
that's a great action. Yes, it's a foundational component. Thank you. Yes, and as far as you guys, yeah, slam dunk of that. We did it. That was a really really deep dive into that training. You guys got it. I know you did. So great stuff. Yes, Steve, you're up.
So my aha or ooh.
I love that. I will always love that, Steve.
I will be forever immortalized.
Yes.
has to do with the thought of empowering questions. Good. And I'm one of those people sometimes doesn't ask a question because I'm afraid it might sound stupid. Mm-hmm. And I hate sounding stupid. Mm-hmm. So thinking about, we just go ahead and asking the question and thinking about a little bit about how I can make it an empowering question, particularly mm-hmm. when it's an internal conversation, which is where that happens more often for me than any place else.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And having the, whether we call it the courage or noticing the risks of not asking or whatever it is that allows us to go there, to be able to be vulnerable enough to ask that question and to risk looking stupid. And I look stupid. I was on a call with one of my mentors yesterday. Boy, did I look stupid. I looked really stupid. Oh, well, it gave me a key component for what's next and what matters for me. So thank you for that. Beautiful. Yes. And what's your inspired action?
Well, I need to go back and listen to the first part of this because I didn't know anything about next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have to go find the email, and there's a couple other emails I got to paw through my inbox to find for some scheduling things that are going on in the next week or two.
Sounds great. Perfect. Yes. Perfect, Steve. Thank you. Love it. Marla, you're up.
I'm going to listen to this talk again. Because I really felt like there were pieces that made sense, but there were a lot of pieces that just weren't connecting for me.
Yeah, and I love that. Thank you for that. Such a truthfulness. So we were bringing together this piece and that piece and that piece. There's a whole lot of integration going on. And this call bears listening to again. So for sure. So great job. And also thanks for the letting go of that. It's like, as much as you are, it's like, well, I got this piece. I don't have this piece yet. So I'm just going to go and listen again. Great. And what's your inspired action?
I think that is my inspired action.
Yes, right. Oh, right. Of course. That's supposed to be your aha interaction. Of course. Thanks, Marla. Mary Kay, you're up.
What really popped out for me is what you said. If you don't celebrate, you may peter out.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of it quite like that. And my inspired action is because my family's going to be together and there's going to be 5 grandchildren running around for the next 4 days here. I'm going to help my grandchildren be aware and celebrate their little successes.
I love it. And what a great way to make it real, because how you do anything is how you do everything. Go over there, have them doing it, which allows you to do it, which will translate over to your company too. It's like perfect action. Love that. I'm just noticing in the chat, Wendy, you said you haven't received the email. If you have not received the email that says, hey, enroll for the call here, then the best thing to do would be to reach out to Amy@MichelleGunderson.com, because maybe you're not on the list. Maybe you're, for some reason, you're on my email list, which you ought to be. It's going over to spam or something like that. So just reach out to Amy, and if you don't have that, and she'll help you with that. And copy me on that too. So Amy@MichelleGunderson.com, Michelle@MichelleGunderson.com. I won't see emails usually, but then I am at least part of that correspondence, so we know we get it resolved for you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
You guys are not seeing it. Okay. Strange. All right. I will also send a note to Amy that if a bunch of you are not seeing it, and let me see. I'll give you the title of it so you'll be able to look just before we go. Because hopefully I've received it. And can I find the title of it right now? The title of it will be something like, I don't have it right in front of me here. The title should be something like, why one word, changing one word changes everything. That was the name of the email. If you don't have it, again, I'll go over to Amy and tell her that a number of you weren't receiving it, and we'll make sure that to get it in your inbox. And if you don't have it by tomorrow night, will somebody reach out and let me know? Text me, reach out to Amy, make sure that we get that information to you, okay? Good. Have a great, great week, everybody. Love you all to bits. You are amazing. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.